I'm Jessica Randolph, and welcome to the How to Buy a House podcast, where we empower you to invest in real estate and start building wealth for yourself. It's the biggest purchase of your life, and we're going to teach you how to do it right. What's up, guys? I've got Sarah Gebhardt with us today, hailing from Helena, Montana, on her farm and all. We've got a great episode for you today. Sarah is a kick-butt realtor. She's actually originally from Minnesota, but now lives in Montana with her husband and her two kids, and she is just crushing the real estate game. She specializes in new construction, and so we are going to take advantage of her knowledge and talk all about new construction today. So without further ado, let's get into it. Sarah, thank you so much for being on today's episode with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Okay, so we are talking all about new construction today. But before we do that, I would love for our listener to just get to know you a little bit. So maybe just in a few words, tell us who you are and why are you in real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. So I live in Helena, Montana. We've been here for about 6 years. I have two little kiddos, Clark and Charlotte. They're 6 and 4. And we actually live on a little farm here, which is super fun. Very Montana of us. We have 3 cows. We have 2 horses and like a million chickens. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. We actually hatch our own chicks, which is the cutest experience ever. Yeah.
I am shooketh. I mean, I obviously when someone says like, oh, I live in Montana, that's exactly the picture I paint in my head. But I'm like, oh, they live in Montana, but like they probably live just like a normal life, you know, go to Kroger and grab your eggs. But like you are out there hatching your own chicks. I love it.
Oh my gosh. And once you have fresh eggs every single day, like you cannot go back. I could never go back.
Can you just ship me some to Nashville, please?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. You can be our test run.
I love it. So you're in Montana, but you're not originally from Montana. You're from Minnesota?
Yep, I'm from a place called Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. My family, we went out to Big Sky every year to ski ever since I was little. And that was before Bozeman really blew up. So I had grown up going there at the time. Bozeman was a smaller community, so it wasn't so crazy. And it felt like this perfect segue to get out of my small Minnesota town. And get to something a little bit bigger. Obviously, if anyone is familiar with Bozeman, that's changed now. It's now Bos Angeles and it's popping.
Bos Angeles. Oh my gosh.
Bos Angeles. Yeah. I just grew up going there every year and I was like, you know, it's close enough where I can drive home for breaks if I want to. But it just felt like good separation and an awesome place to go to school.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe how popular. I feel like so many people from California either left to move to Nashville or they left and moved to Montana and like post pandemic. And it's just blown up. Like from what I can gather, it seems like it's just blown up. And then add Yellowstone popularity on top of that. Everybody wants to be a cowboy, including me. And I think it's just gotten so popular. But let's get into real estate. I'm ready to talk about real estate today. I love real estate so much. And I know you do too, Sarah. Before we get into today's topic, which we're going to talk about navigating a new build, which you are the perfect person to talk about this because your husband is in construction, right? And there are a lot of new developments going up because we still are very low on inventory as a country on homes. And we need more homes to be built to fill the demand that we have. And buying a new build is very different than buying a resale or a home that's already pre-existing. So we're going to talk about it. Before we do that, Sarah, why don't you give our audience like a little bit about you and family life and real estate life and just give us a little brief introduction of you as a realtor.
Yeah. So I have been in Montana now for, since 2011. My husband, Brock, and I, we moved from Bozeman to Helena 6 years ago. Originally, I went to school, got my degree in HR management. Shortly after I graduated with that degree, I had our first son, Clark, and I made the decision to stay home with him and be a stay-at-home mom. Our second child, Charlotte, so Charlotte was born the week everything shut down for COVID. So it was this really interesting time where I was now stuck at home with a toddler and a newborn. Brock being in construction, he was still working. And so by the time the world opened back up, I was like, I need to get out of this house.
Get me out of here.
Yeah, like I love my children. I love spending time with them. But like, oh my gosh, this has been a lot and it's a lot. So
yes,
Brock at the time was building spec houses. And so we were paying realtor fees for somebody else to sell these homes. And so we're like, you know, it doesn't really make sense. Like I could be that person. That's kind of how I ended up in real estate is I wanted to do something that had flexibility. I stepped right into new construction with Brock's stuff and then it kind of grew from there.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. I'm very passionate about new construction because I also worked for a builder when I first got started a long time ago, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's impossible because I'm still 22. How's this happening? But I also have three kids, Sarah, and have finding the balance of being a realtor, being a mom, you know, obviously doing all of our how to buy a house stuff. Like it, you know, it's a work of art trying to just balance your time. And so I applaud you for doing both. I know how hard it is. And selling new construction is hard too. So let's get into our topic. For those of you that are listening, you might be like, I am learning how to buy a house in general. If you do find yourself interested in buying a new build, this episode is for you.
I've done resale. I've done commercial. I've done land. I'm dabbling in some ranches. And honestly, my favorite is new construction. I love it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's hard because I think a lot of people love the idea of a new house. They're like, I want to be the first one to live there. I actually have a friend in Chicago. She and her husband are looking at houses and she called me and she's like, I just found out that somebody died in this house that we just looked at today. And I'm like, yes, Julia, a lot of people die at home. That's why, that's a lot of the reason why sometimes people sell houses. And it just, some people are really weird about living in a house that somebody else has lived in. And so there's an appeal of like, no one has touched this. It's mine. It smells like me. No one has scratched the countertops yet. And that is appealing. I will say they're not all new construction is created equal. And so I think navigating new construction, the number one thing that I think of is navigating like which new build to go for and what builders to look out for and just how to know what's quality and what's not, because you are buying something that's brand spanking new versus a house that's been sitting there. You can get a home inspection on it. You can get the story on it. You can really get all of your facts. You know, like this house has been sitting here for 15 years. It's had water damage. The foundation's really solid and it needs a new roof. Like I know the story. Whereas new construction, it doesn't exist yet. So it's like a baby that's in utero. Like we don't know yet, but we see previous houses that this builder's built. We've seen their website. We met with the project manager, but it's a different animal because you just can't see it, can't touch it, can't inspect it just yet. So maybe we can go through, what are some tips that you would give someone looking at buying a new build?
I think one of the biggest things I prepare buyers for when looking at new construction is it is still a house built by humans. There is going to be things that aren't 100% perfect. And I just like to prep my buyers for that first, because I think that some people go in and they're like, this is new construction. Like it needs to be 1,000% like perfect, perfect. Really, they're very perfect in the grand scheme of things when you're talking about like new construction versus resale. But one of my biggest tips for buyers is inspections on new construction. That is something that I think is so important, even on a new build. You might find buyers that pre-inspect their homes, which is awesome. But if they don't, what I tell people, there's stuff that can go wrong in new construction that builders don't know about either. Mm-hmm. Because that's a misconception that buyers have, is they're like, oh, we're buying new construction. You know, we're just going to like waive all of this stuff. And that's usually not something I recommend.
Totally.
Even on my husband's homes. I'm like, get that stuff double checked.
It's so true. My husband and I we're in our second home that we've built, which is only because we used to work for a builder. So we got the hookup. But we also, we got our own house that we helped manage inspected because there are just so many things that can go wrong. And yeah, it is all new, but it's built by imperfect humans with imperfect products on an imperfect piece of land. And, you know, even if the project manager is showing up every single day, things can still go wrong. That's a great tip, that get it inspected. Don't skip a step. We say that an inspection is the cheapest insurance you can get. And it's true, only because it will protect you from, you know, issues down the road if you can catch them early and save you a lot more money. Great tip. Maybe you can tell us, Sarah, what are some pros and cons? Like what are the benefits of buying a new home versus buying an old home?
any resale home, like any older home, is going to come with its own bag of issues, depending on the age, of course. I don't know how it is everywhere else, but in Montana, there is, builders are required to give their buyers a 1-year warranty package with their home, which is just really nice peace of mind for the buyers walking into your home because they are more expensive. And that's kind of your trade-off, right? Like, you are paying more, but you're going to have this protection at least for a year. And hopefully, I mean, everything's brand new. So hopefully you won't have to touch any of that stuff for like very long term. I will say, like, some of the cons of new construction is the uncertainty of the time frame. And that is also something I always bring up to clients when they're getting into new construction.
Wait, let's pause, Sarah. I want you to pretend like I'm your buyer, okay? If I'm in Montana, so I just got this new construction house under contract and I can't wait. Builder told me it's going to be done by May 15th. So I got my moving truck ready to go. I'm packing up and on May 15th, I'm moving into that house. What would you say?
You might have the Yellowstone producers calling you. I'm just saying.
They keep calling me and I'm like, stop calling me, you know? I'm too busy with my How to Buy a House podcast.
Yeah, seriously. So what I would tell them is that date is never guaranteed. So that is something that I worry about with every buyer who is renting or if they are trying to sell a house at the same time. So those dates are always tentative. And I usually say, unless we're 30 days out and we're looking like real good, the 30-day point is usually where I'm like, we're going to know if we're going to close on time or not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many delays that can happen, especially being in Montana. And that's one of the things, you know, maybe somebody's coming from California. They've bought new construction in California. They've bought from a production builder that bumps them out one after one. Montana is really new to the production building scene. And that is a builder who builds on a very large scale. And they're just like crushing them out one by one.
Right.
But let's say you have somebody who came from California now to Montana. They're not thinking about what our winters are like. So if that foundation is not in before winter comes, it's either going to be way more expensive to put that in because you're going to need to heat it, keep the ground warm, keep the concrete a certain temperature.
Uh-huh.
If there's snow days or if it's below a certain temperature, your contractors can't work. So it's all those little things that it's like, okay, what's, you know, like what time of year are you buying?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the status of the home when you got it under contract? And then there's just always, you know, stuff can get delayed.
100%. When I worked for the builder here in Nashville, and we have like obviously a more moderate climate. I mean, it gets really hot, but I think of the 150 new homes I sold, I think I had zero ever close on time. And so I started telling people, I'm like, you know, it'll be finished when it's finished. And I will let you know 2 weeks before the projected close date, because we really truly don't know. I remember I had one that everything was going on time. Everything seemed great. And, you know, we told clients end of July it'd be ready. Or at least that was our very cushioned close date. Like whatever we thought it was, we would add like 2 months just in case. And even still, the house was done. We were just waiting on the final city approval. They needed to give, you know, the certification of occupancy that says, yes, this house is safe to live in and you can buy it and close on it. And it took them 6 weeks to give us that CO. And my clients were homeless. They had all their stuff in a moving truck. And they kept saying, like, you told us it would be done. You told us it would be done. And we're like, we are not psychic. We cannot predict the future. And there's no way we could have predicted that Metro would have been that backed up. Like, there's just no way, you know, and there are acts of God, tornadoes, pandemics, things like that, that put a wrench in things. But yeah, that is a great piece of advice, Sarah, is like, you just don't know when it's going to be done. So you have to be patient. And if anybody gives you a date and says, yeah, we're for sure going to be on that date, just assume that they're lying. Just, you know, hope for the best, but assume the worst and plan around, you know, that scenario and try and make an educated decision on when to tell your landlord that you're moving and things like that.
Y'all, can I get a drum roll, please? If you've been enjoying our podcast, you know that we are very passionate about providing accessible home buying education for everybody, no matter where they're at in the process. And now, guess what? You can do it straight from your phone. Download the How to Buy a House mobile app today. Our app is designed to hold your hand through the process from start to finish and is jam-packed with expert-level home buying education and tips and tricks from the best in the business. We are so pumped about it, and we know you will be too. Now available in the App Store. Happy home buying.
And hey, before we jump back into the episode, I wanted to give a quick shout out to The Business of Homes. I'm actually recording this episode from their studio here in Nashville, where they produce The Business of Homes podcast. It's well worth listening to if you want to take a deeper look at the business side of real estate with my friend Michael Conrad. He interviews some of the best and brightest in the real estate field. It's great for realtors and anyone who might want to keep their eye on the market. And want to know where to start? You can listen to episode 3, where I got a chance to talk to Michael about a wide range of topics that I'm sure you'll find super interesting. So check it out. Now back to our episode. What else would you say to a client that is interested in purchasing new construction? As far as, you know, especially something that isn't existing yet, you know, the foundation hasn't been poured. What are some things that you usually go over with a new build client?
I usually go over like wants versus needs. Because I think that sometimes when you're buying a spec house, which is a house that a builder has already picked out the plans, like they're just popping it up, or versus a custom home, like those are two very different things. And a lot of the times I think it just needs to be a super open conversation of what are your expectations out of this house? Like these are the things you can pick. These are the things you can't. Just being upfront with everyone on how all of that works, because I think sometimes people assume this is new construction, we can customize anything we want. And that's great to want that, but that's not necessarily the case, because typically the builder has to stay in a certain budget. And maybe some of those custom options you want are not in there.
Totally. Yeah. I think like quick rule of thumb is that buying a new build is not buying a custom new build. You're buying what this builder is building. It's just not built yet. It doesn't mean that you are in charge, right? And you might have things like, no, I really want a white kitchen, or I really want a soaking tub. And it's important to know your must-haves versus like just nice to have, but getting emotionally involved on every single decision, on every single doorknob, every single tile, grout color, you know, and tile pattern. I mean, that is going to wear you down. And at the end of the day, isn't going to really affect, you know, the way you live in the house, you know?
Or make that decision up front. Like, I want more say. So maybe semi-custom or custom is the way to go versus like, you know, this spec house community.
Totally. And a lot of builders, and I don't know if it's like this in Montana, but a lot of builders here in Nashville, they require an additional deposit if you're going to make any changes. And they might charge you a change order fee. So it might be, hey, we're building this house. Here's the floor plan. Here's the finished selection packet. Here's the price. If you want any upgrades, you know, here are your options, and you can add that into the contract. But they might also say, hey, it's going to be an additional $10,000 deposit because now we're customizing this house for you. And if you end up losing your job or moving to Mexico or anything happens to you and now you're not buying it, we've now customized this house to fit your needs. And so it's important to know that sometimes it could be a little bit more expensive. And a lot of builders also, and I don't know if it's like this in Montana, a lot of builders have their own contracts. So it can be a little bit more in the builder's favor for obvious reasons. They're assuming the risk to build this house for you. Their contract might be more leaning in the builder's favor versus the buyer's favor, which a lot of our contracts, you know, for NAR are more, I would say, like in the buyer's favor and protecting the buyer a little bit more. So just be aware of those things. Could be more expensive. The builder could have their own contract. Doesn't mean it's something you should walk away from. It's just something you should definitely know in the beginning.
Yeah. And I think it's one thing that I love to talk about with clients is I have a lot of clients that I start with that are looking for resale homes, and they question the new construction side. And they're like, well, maybe we should just buy a lot, build a new house. You know, prices are so high. Let's do that instead. So another thing that I think is really unique to new construction versus resale is new construction is not always necessarily like your better bet finance-wise. So I think that people underestimate the cost of how much it costs to build a home nowadays, especially after COVID. Like there's shortages left and right. For a while there, during COVID, we were putting in our homes, we called it the COVID appliance package. And it was literally just like a mashup of like, this is what we can get.
Right.
here it is. And I mean, all nice stuff, but like there are some homes where like they didn't match, you know, like with Whirlpool and Samsung, and you're just like, this is our COVID appliance package.
Yeah,
like,
that is so real. And, you know, I will say to err on the side of people that do buy houses that are existing and sitting there, my grandma's house, if you were to rebuild my grandma's house today, they used 3 layers of, you know, of hand poured brick to build that house. That foundation is so solid. Yeah. All of her trim in her house is like hardy pine and oak. And she's got the, you know, the crystal doorknobs with the little keyhole. And I mean, you're talking expensive materials today. If you were to rebuild my Nana's 1200 square foot Tudor in, you know, Chicago, Illinois, you're going to spend way more probably on building that house than if you were to just go buy her house on the market today existing, because those materials now are just so much more expensive. And so that is something to consider, is like a lot of these new builds, because they are built with materials that are newer and also in mass production, a lot of them don't have super long lifespans. I definitely have sold houses where I told the buyer, this is not going to last the way that you think it's going to. It probably has a 30 to 40 year lifespan, this house does. And I guarantee a lot of the houses I sold in, you know, 2011, 2012, 2013 are probably going to be torn down and rebuilt in my lifetime, which is crazy to think about. I mean, America is already such a young country. And, you know, we see a lot of like older decrepit houses being torn down and rebuilt, but to tear down a new build and rebuild it, I just think we're probably going to see a little bit of that, because there are builders building without quality in mind, and they're using the cheapest materials possible, because they're trying to think about their profit at the end of the day. And they're not thinking, I'm going to put in something that's going to last and stand the test of time like my grandpa did. You know, I'm going to put in cheap tile and builder grade countertops and, you know, use the cheapest framing package that I can, because I'm thinking about running a business. And that is something to think about, is the lifespan might be a little bit shorter, but there's also the pros of like the maintenance on it's going to be less expensive. My Nana's house is very expensive to upkeep, and you know, it has termites, and there's like a lot of things that you have to do. So there are, you know, different pros and cons, obviously, but I think really weighing what's going to be the best fit for me, for my budget, what can I handle? I don't want to take care of an old house. I want to move right in and sit on my couch and relax and watch Netflix. And I don't want to have to go replace a pipe underneath my, you know, in the crawl space. And that might be what you have to do.
And that's such a good point that you made. And I'm glad that you brought up like a good builder versus a bad builder, because there's definitely both. And so I think interviewing with your builders first and just talking to them about their knowledge and about the stuff that they put in their homes, about their warranty processes, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that, you know, have had some really unfortunate situations with builders that they just saw a new house on the market, and, you know, unfortunately it's a builder that doesn't have a good rap, and now they're dealing with that down the road. And that's not why you buy new construction, right? You buy new construction to walk in and be like, this is done. Like, maybe they are builder level counters, but you're like, hey, I love the rest of the house. Yes. I can rip those out and put in granite. You know, like I can make those small changes, but you want those bones to be where they need to be. You want them to be solid.
And I think that point, Sarah, brings me to what I think is the most important thing, is like, how do I know if I'm buying a bad house? How do I know if I'm buying from a bad builder? If all their Yelp reviews are great and, you know, they've built so many houses. I think, and maybe you can agree with this or not, but I think the best way to find out if the builder is solid or not, and if their quality is solid and their response time is solid on warranty issues, is find a contact info for someone who's currently living in one of the houses they've built. Mm-hmm. Maybe your realtor can do some due diligence of like, okay, they built this development a couple miles away. You know, all these houses are now 2 or 3 years old. Maybe I can contact an agent that sold one of those houses and ask them, how is it going? How did your one-year warranty walkthrough go? How responsive was the builder when there was a leak because a pipe broke or whatever? That to me would be the best way to find out if it's going to be solid or not, because I've worked for really bad builders before and I've worked for really great builders. And to me, at the end of the day, the house is going to be imperfect and things are going to go wrong, but what's the integrity of this person that's building it? And are they going to have your back when something needs to be replaced? Are they going to stand behind their work? Are they present at the job site while it's being built? And are they choosing materials that are going to stand the test of time versus just put more money in their pocket? Yeah. And I think asking someone like, how has it been living there? And like I told you, I live in two houses that my husband and I have helped build, and things go wrong. I think having a expectation of like, it's new, but it's not perfect, like you said, Sarah, at the beginning of the episode, is so key, because it's not going to be perfect. And there are going to be things that we might have to fix and pay for. And every summer our HVAC stops working and it's only 2 years old. And we're like, why is it 100 degrees inside of our house when we got back from vacation? Like that's happened, but you know, that could happen with resale too. And so I think knowing it's not going to be perfect and there might be things I have to fix down the road, and that's okay. But that, that would be a great way to find out if it's a good builder or not, is just ask somebody who's living in one of those houses, how has it gone? And what was that process like for you? And get some.
Yeah. And honestly, like realtors are the best people for that, because they want to see their clients happy and in a good space. So, I mean, there's definitely chatter. Like if there's a builder that isn't building the way they should be, like, especially here, I mean, we're such a small town, like you know,
for sure. So. I feel that very deeply. I remember one time I was wearing a hat that I was given by a builder, and they will remain nameless. And somebody on an airplane saw me wearing it, and they were like, my roof is still leaking from when I bought one of those houses. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like I just got this hat. Like I'm not the builder, but like it is, I mean, it does travel fast, especially for, you know, you're spending so much money on your house. You want to make sure that it's going to be a good investment. And that's not just, you know, great location, great house, but like a good investment long-term that you're not going to have to be pouring money back into this thing every year.
Well, and even on the selling side, even if you're not representing the buyer, because I've worked for a few different builders, I feel like that's work I'm standing behind. And there's definitely people same, like people reach out to me and they're like, oh my gosh, like my client still hasn't had this fixed, or, you know, this didn't go as planned, or this was really, really hard.
Yeah.
And that's actually when I kind of decided to step back from such a large operation, just because I'm like, I can't take all of this on. Like
it can be a lot.
It's a lot.
Well, and some homeowners think that buying a new build means that the builder is your landlord. Newsflash, your builder built the house, but they are not your landlord. You have to replace the water filter. You have to replace your air filter. Yeah. You have to open up your crawl space fence in the summer and the winter, make sure that it's breathing down there. There aren't rodents, and making sure you're cleaning your gutters and doing all the things to maintain your house. And a lot of people are like, I bought it new, and so it's perfect forever. Like, no, you have to take care of it. And this builder is going to come and, you know, bring a plunger to your toilet every time that it gets clogged.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We had somebody one time that called us every time a light bulb went out.
Yeah I know, and those people, like, Lord bless you.
You know, like we love to give, like, we'll help you, but light bulbs you probably
go to Home Depot, Google it, you know, try and figure it out first, and then call the warranty department. Sarah, I'm going to wrap us up, and I would love for you to give us one piece of advice that you want to give to our listener today. And it doesn't have to be new construction related or even real estate related, but what's one thing that you would want to give our listener?
I would say, honestly, find really good, solid representation in a realtor, whether it's new construction or resale. I think finding somebody that can do one really well or both really well, that is what makes or breaks deals. I mean, you need somebody good guiding you. So I would say just make sure that you find somebody that knows what they're talking about for what you're looking for.
So good. And so true. Sarah, thank you so much for spending time with us today and talking all about new construction. If you are in Montana, in Helena, you can reach out to Sarah Gebhardt and maybe buy one of these new builds that she's working on. Go attend her How to Buy a House class. If you have any friends that are moving out that way, reach out to her. I'm sure she would be such an amazing resource, and we're so happy to have her a part of our How to Buy a House family. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
We are so grateful for you, listener. I just wanted to remind you that this podcast is for you. So if there's a topic that you'd like us to cover, or if you have questions about anything we talk about, feel free to give us a shout. You could email us, sign up for an in-person class in your city, download our app, or recommend someone as a teacher, all on our website, howtobuyahouseclass.com. Stay tuned for more episodes and follow us along on Instagram as well. We are at the How to Buy a House class. And I'd also love to connect with you. You can follow along with me at Jess Lou Randolph. We hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening and God bless.